Okay, so if no objections, I'll start the meeting with the Story County Board of Health. It is now 2:03. First thing I'd like to do is I'd like to change, if there's no objections, the order on the agenda. I'd like to do Youth and Shelter Services first under additional items. Okay, any objections?
None.
Okay, sounds good. So first thing we're going to do is we have a consent agenda. A consent agenda are things that we'll just approve on one motion, approval agenda, and approval of minutes from previous meetings.
So moved.
Second.
Great. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Anyone wishes to speak or say anything? I don't see anyone, so we'll move on to additional items. Youth and Shelter Services, Denise Denton.
Thank you very much for coming. My dinner is scheduled today.
Oh.
I brought you some paper.
Oh,
cool. I'm reading materials.
So, Denise Denton, Youth and Shelter Services. While you're looking at that, just for you up to date, we are business as usual. The school year has started, and we are busy in all the schools, elementary through college. I just finished my 8th health studies class last week. So we're trying to make sure that we do our usual sort of prevention, where we talk about the kinds of risks that are involved, and actually have a dialogue with young people about what they're thinking and what they're doing. And so none of our programs are one-shot things. We usually meet 1, 2, or 3 times with any class that we do meet with. One of the things that my college students are working on right now is the Health Promotion Club. Was active in going to the Boone County Board of Health and Board of Supervisors and asked for them to pass an ordinance similar to what Ames has, and we were not very successful with that. And so they decided that they're just going to take on the state instead, recognizing that most of the time the state, one of the things that the Boone County Board said was that they wanted the state to do an ordinance so that they wouldn't have to do it county by county. And our experience is that the state doesn't usually do something unless there's a critical mass of counties. So the Health Promotion Club is currently, and when I say currently, this afternoon, are addressing envelopes to every Board of Health and every Board of Supervisors in the state, except for yourselves, because you've already accomplished this, asking them to work together to go forward with county ordinances that they can then take to the state and look at a vaping law at the state level. So you won't be getting a letter because you've already done that. But the good news is we received the results from the IMU survey over the summer for Story County, and all drug use among 6th, 8th, and 11th grade use is continuing to trend down. There's a couple of exceptions of percent here and percent there among 6th graders. But by and large, we've gone down significantly, particularly with 11th graders. So we're really pleased with that, because usually at the high school level, you see an uptick. But that's not been the case.
Is that a statewide trend or just here?
And a statewide trend. Oh,
excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that we've been busy with is an opioid task force that has been meeting for roughly a year. It goes by the Ames Story County or Ames Opioid Task Force, but there's representation from all over the county. Actually, one of the comments that was made in the meeting that we had on Monday is, wouldn't it be nice if we had somebody from the Story County Board of Health? I'm just saying. Somebody would like to attend. We've been meeting monthly, and one of the things that they're doing is we've recently done a needs assessment to look at just what the outlook is in terms of, do people understand the opioid crisis? And in Story County, we are not seeing it certainly like they do in Ohio. I was watching something Sunday night where they spend $135 million in Ohio just for foster care costs from kids who've been removed from homes where there have been opioids. We're not seeing that, but we're starting to see an uptick in that. We've had, I believe, 6 overdoses in about the last 2 months. Don't quote me on that, but just another one the other night. But there were 4 in 2 weeks during 2 weeks in the summer. One of those was the same person twice. One was a single one, and another one was resulted in death. So we are starting to see some of that, and this task force is looking at, you know, what are ways that we can curtail that before it gets ugly. YSS with CFR, Community Family Resources, we've each written a grant that we will receive from the state for $10,000. And part of that money, what we're investigating, is the possibility of using some of those funds to buy Narcan for first responders in the county. So I don't know that that will be approved. We have yet to submit a strategic plan, but that is part of it. And we have representation from Ames Police who are currently going through training so that they can carry Narcan in their cars. And also talking to the fire departments about the possibility of those them also doing that. I don't think they have plans to do that at this point, but that would be ideal if everybody did. Because Narcan, if you are familiar with that, is an antagonist that stops the action of the drug just right now. So if somebody is in an overdose and it looks like they might have just a little too much, it stops them from dying from that. It can even sort of bring you back from the brink at times. So that's very effective. But it's also very expensive. You can actually buy it at any Hy-Vee in the state. But what the Ames Police are getting is, I think it's two doses for $75 at this point. But in some cases, if it's not just OxyContin or another opioid or heroin, if it's fentanyl, it might take a couple doses for somebody to recover from that. So that can get to be quite expensive. So we're hoping some of those funds can be used for that. Another thing that task force is looking at is doing grand rounds with everyone at Mary Greeley on January 10th. And they'll be bringing a doctor in who does a treatment program using Suboxone and methadone over in Iowa City and in Marshalltown. Yeah, whose name escapes me, Dr. I don't remember her name. Anyway, and then we're hoping to do a town hall meeting that night that everyone can attend, and we will also have another doctor who works in a treatment facility, and we've invited Steve Lucan, who is the Iowa Drugs Czar, and Gail Woolery, who is with the Office of Drug Control Policy, to also speak on that panel. So that's something that's coming up. And another thing that is coming up along those lines is a training that we're doing at YSS on October 24th from 1 to 4. It's actually going to be myself and a member of the Story County Drug Task Force who works undercover, so I won't repeat his name, but he'll be there talking about some of the things that he's seeing as they're working undercover with the task force here in Story County and around this area. The handouts that I've given you are a light reading that talks a little bit about how we've gotten to this crisis. And again, we're not seeing the same kinds of numbers in Iowa, but we prefer not to. But these are some of the things that we are seeing around the country. It also speaks, the other hand up, also speaks to the fact that some opiates sort of hold hands and skip down the street better with some drugs than others. And so we're seeing, you know, as always, you see a relationship with various drugs together. Some of them just cooperate better in the brain. Some of them cooperate better economically. One of them speaks to the kinds of increase in disease that we're seeing as a result of some of these. So I thought that would be interesting for you to see some of those trends. If you have nothing else to do, another little bit of light reading is a book called Dreamland, which really does explain very well how the opioid crisis has gotten a toehold. I did a radio program earlier this summer where I said, if I had charts and graphs, but I don't, I want you to imagine a Venn diagram with seven different circles, because there are seven different, very specific factors that have led to this crisis over basically the last 20, 25 years. So this has been a while in the making. We prefer not to let it, you know, take much of a stand in Story County. But I think in order to get in front of it in Story County, it helps to understand how it's taken over in other parts of the country and what factors have been involved. And there are a lot of moving parts to this problem, as there are always with lots of substance abuse issues. But I think this opiate situation is particularly interesting and complicated. So that's it. What questions do you have?
I had an opportunity to overhear a conversation between law enforcement officials talking about the toxicity of fentanyl, mm-hmm. about how that they have protocols to handle it in a way. Fentanyl is a component of the opioid crisis, is a catch-all term. What is it and how is it used in?
It's a synthetic opioid. Ashley, you want to jump in anytime. But it's a bigger, badder version. It's in the same family. They all do the same. All opioids do the same thing. They suppress pain, they suppress coughing, and they slow down diarrhea. They can put you to sleep. And some of them have a little more potency than others, and fentanyl has significantly higher fentanyl. And then carfentanil, which you sometimes hear about, will bring down a large North American mammal. So, yeah.
Who's
so,
your, okay, then it begs the question.
It's milligram per milligram. You know, you might have to take 100 milligrams of morphine to get what 1 milligram of fentanyl.
It's the real deal.
Yeah,
it's used for medicinal purposes all the time. For an anesthetic, if you have a procedure, they might give you fentanyl and something like Versed, which is a benzodiazepine to relax you. But yes, we're paying attention to that sort of thing.
People have to be monitoring you.
Here it is.
I'm an anesthesiologist. Yeah.
Used in veterinary medicine also.
Yes. So yeah, to break into a vet clinic, it's not to steal the kittens.
Yep.
You mentioned that you'd like someone from the Board of Health to come to some of your meetings.
That would be lovely.
Do you know when are your meetings?
We will meet November 6th at 9 o'clock at St. Andrew's over Lutheran Church over on the west side of Ames.
In the morning?
Right by Colorado Junction.
In the morning?
In the morning at 9 o'clock.
Could you send out an invite to the board?
I would love to.
Thank you.
We actually have very good representation. Both of the senators... offices have sent representatives, and so we have representation from a really broad swath of the community, which is always hard. And there were about 17 people at the last meeting. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Great. So, any comments?
No, this is, I would say, having great enjoyment when Denise comes and talks to us because she leaves us a very good reading material, and I find time to read it, and it's just like, and I don't want this to go unsaid because I'm a child of the 70s. I was around this stuff, and I have no love for it, but when they sat there and we were provided material that says marijuana is a gateway drug, I have no desire to...
Actually, no, Marty, you weren't around this kind of stuff.
Well,
things are so much different now. Marijuana that my sisters smoked, I guess I shouldn't say that on the public record, is nothing compared to the stuff that's out there now. And that is a real issue.
Yeah,
you know?
Real
I mean,
strong,
they had a young man who actually died in Denver, Colorado. Was it not this summer, but last summer, that he ate a whole edible cookie instead of just a corner of it, and he had an acute schizophrenic reaction and jumped off the top of a building. And he had never used marijuana before. This is bad stuff.
Okay.
So, anyways. Okay.
Thank you.
So, I'm now here to talk about discussion and consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park.
It's on the back of
that. And I'm
not
okay.
Okay, I'm Erin Rewertz from Story County Community Services. I think you've previously probably heard from Carla Webb, but she's out on medical leave, so that's how you get me. So just a little update on what we know to be going on with the Crestview residents. All but two of those residents have vacated the mobile home park, either with their trailers or without their trailers, depending on what their arrangements were. The two folks that are left have received eviction notices, and their hearings, I believe, are tomorrow, from what I have been told. So those two trailers have also been approved to leave the park. They've had the asbestos inspection and all that kind of stuff. So if they choose to move their trailers, they can. So then I thought I would just kind of update you a little bit on the types of assistance, I guess, since the county has been allocated the relocation assistance and kind of what we've kind of paid for up until now. We've paid for everything from hotel stays, gas to help people move, storage units, application fees, and those are for either rentals or other mobile home parks, utility bills, camping fees, veterinary bills and boarding fees for pets, and then also the asbestos inspections. So total expenditures as of when our claims go out on the 19th is about $5,566 and some change.
And what's the total that they can spend altogether?
It's $3,000 per trailer. That's upwards of $40,000 or 30-some thousand.
Okay.
But this is what we've spent so far. Yep. Any questions?
So we have two residents still in place, but eviction notices have been served.
To my knowledge, yes.
Okay. And their hearing is tomorrow, correct? Okay. And so just help me out here. After the hearing, what happens at the hearing? Are they given another month and a half to?
No, they're out tomorrow. The writ of possession is issued tomorrow.
Okay. Got it. All right. That's what we wanted to know. Thank you.
And Margaret James, Environmental Health, Story County. I'll just give an update what we've been involved with, and then we'll open the mic up to Ethan and Brant Lemire. So I met the asbestos inspectors out there and went through the inspections. The 10 trailers were inspected for friable asbestos so that they wouldn't leave asbestos behind as they're being moved to another trailer park. Only one needed to be encapsulated, which was good news. So 10 are good to go, and 8 or so have been moved.
Mm-hmm.
8, thereabouts. The remaining trailers, according to DNR, if I'm understanding them correctly, will need to have the full asbestos inspections, not just the friable fall off the trailer inspections, because they're concerned that someone will buy them for a very small amount of money and then land up holding the bag for asbestos abatement. We have 11 outstanding notice of violations from the Board of Health, and 9 of them were for critter harborage, and let's see, and those will stay in place until we confirm. Those are for individual trailers to be moved out, and those NOVs will stay in place until we know for sure those particular trailers have been moved. Okay. And then there's another notice of violation for solid waste, and that will stand until we see a lot of the debris that's been collected, the non-trailer debris that's been accumulating around. That will not be lifted until that material is gone. And then the one that has been abated, the people that were living in the trailers without water or electricity, they are moved out. And so that one has been abated because no one is living there without portable water or electricity. Renee Tweed expressed interest that we needed to ensure that there are no squatters after everybody moves out. She's concerned that with the cold weather, people moving back in. I personally am not concerned. I don't think Brant will allow that at this point. Let's see, what else? That's all I have to report at this point.
How many trailers have to be removed?
I'll let Brant answer that. It's in the vicinity of around 40 trailers.
Around 40?
Yeah. Okay. DNR would like to see them not move trailers from space to space. They want to see sort of an organized asbestos abatement, like a block of them at a time, so that they know which trailers are indeed moving out, which ones have had the asbestos abated. To my understanding, the way they do it is, you get the inspector in there, you learn where the asbestos is in the trailer, and then you separate those solids out from the stuff that doesn't have asbestos. So, for example, you would cut the tops off of the trailers where there might be a lot of asbestos paint and stack them so that your tipping fees at the landfill are reduced because you've got this, you know, batch of, you separate out the trash. With that, I'll open. Who would you like to call next?
Okay. So if I remember correctly, our goal at this point was to have everyone out. If not, then that we would have a plan for it, and it's already there.
Universal.
Yes. And then what did we want to do? I'm trying to look through the minutes.
I'm sorry. This is my summary.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. No residents. Yep. And schedule. Got it. Excellent. So now we need the schedule showing, the schedule for properly removing all the remaining trailers. It sounds like you've met the first. There should be no residents living in Crestview Mobile Home Park. Basically, you're doing that. And I'm assuming there were no intentionally set fires. We haven't heard of any. And so the last thing is providing a schedule for removing.
And that's correct. We have a little bit of a, not really a hiccup, but we're kind of at the mercy of the DNR right now. By the way, my name is Stephen Humpke. I'm from New Grove Law Firm. I work with Bill Talbot. I'm helping him with this matter, and we're working with the DNR and counsel with the DNR to figure out when and how we can move these trailers. So as far as the trailer removal goes, we don't have a schedule today because we're working with Ann, counsel for the DNR, on which trailers we can move and when. We have a asbestos inspector and abater, Roger Nielsen, who has a relationship with Tom, who works with the DNR and reports to Ann. So we're in the process right now of figuring out which trailers we can move and when we can move them.
Okay. So you don't quite have a plan yet, but
we're working on it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Margaret, does that sound like a reasonable thing, or?
Well, it seems to me that you could go forward soon with those that you have clear title and tax clearance. Go ahead and get the asbestos inspection done, and then you could go from there.
Brent has been in contact. We have been in contact with Roger, the inspector, on doing that. We don't have clearance from the DNR yet. And under DNR's orders, until we get clearance from Ann, we can't do anything.
Clearance for what?
To move trailers, demolish trailers.
Okay. I'll talk to her today, and she'll call you soon.
When can we expect a reasonably a plan for removal? When could we reasonably expect a plan?
Not in two weeks and
90 days. I mean, not to get them removed. One of the things we wanted an orderly plan for removal.
And I certainly understand that. I can't give you one here today because I don't have enough information from Ann on when we'll know exactly what can go when. Hopefully sooner rather than later. I mean, we'd like to get them moved. Brent would like to get them moved. We would like to get them moved. I think Ethan understands that.
You guys have a seller yet? Just our buyer?
We do not.
Okay, just curious.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah,
thinking about buying it. Yeah, Ethan Anderson, Story County Attorney's Office. When Marty and I have met with Bill Talbot and Steve Humpke, Bill's kind of told us a very general schedule. And the first item on that list was people. And the second was trailers. And the third was solid waste. The fourth was the lagoon. And the fifth was the well. And then hopefully sell the property at auction. I think moving forward, we can certainly work with Ann with DNR. And we had a productive, Margaret and I had a conversation with her yesterday on the phone. And I think there might be some miscommunication happening between DNR, the county, and Talbot and Humpke's office. I think we can get that communication error addressed and we can get on the same page. And then we'll be in a position to give a real concrete schedule. Right now, I don't think, I think we solved the communication error as far as solid waste goes. and they can dispose of that so long as they comply with DNR's requirements and county requirements. So there's no impediment to removing solid waste, especially now that the people have left the park. I think it's also important to recognize, since the last meeting, I know it's not tell you about it, but there was an administrative order issued by DNR against Crestview, and that's what they've been dealing with since August 7th was the date of the order, I believe. So we have to recognize that the last few months, credit should go to Margaret, to Aaron, to Mr. Lemer, and working with, and I think recognize that a major milestone here, which is the people of the park, especially with all the asbestos abatement issues that have arisen over the past 2 months. It's really a testament to Margaret and the others to get that they got that done. And I know Aaron worked really, really hard on that. I think, yeah, we'd be in a better position here. Now the communication issue has been solved. We're all on the same page, have a schedule moving forward.
I personally don't want to speak for the rest of the Board of Health, but now that the people are going to be out, and I feel like we've got a little bit more leeway and stuff. So.
And I'd like to know, the reason there's two people left there, Mr. Burkhart was all set to move, had the skirting off the trailer, the mover was there. At the last minute, he got denied application to the place that he was going to go. So that's part of the reason the FED is not going to be completed until tomorrow, is we got rolling on a little later because we were under the intention and thought that he was going to move without us having to file a formal eviction.
No, I just say thank you very much for doing that. Remember, our whole goal is to make people safe. And that's what we do.
No, I think so. We did that.
Yep, so I would be, I'm very satisfied. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got two people still. What's the
Well, but after
thing?
Tomorrow they won't.
Correct.
Yep, because they'll be served,
They've been served, the hearing's been set, and they've received the proper notices. Just the hearing in front of the magistrate and the judge is tomorrow.
Okay. So
there will be nobody living, known or unknown, in this trailer court going forward at this point after tomorrow?
That's correct. Okay. Well, the writ is issued tomorrow. I mean, technically, you got to go do it with the sheriff, so it may be Thursday before the sheriff comes out with Brandt and puts the locks on these trailers, because the sheriff's got to be the one that does it. I mean, if the sheriff can do it tomorrow afternoon, great. I don't know what their timeline is. I wouldn't think any longer than Thursday.
Okay. Right. So I would be, I thank you. I'm fine with this. And I think that what we can do is we can just make sure we have a schedule for removal of the other hazards that could be health issues for people in the community.
Are you giving direction to Margaret or Jerry to?
Well, actually, they kind of have a direction already. We're just kind of extending it. Remember, our last direction was that they should provide a schedule showing how they're going to properly remove all the remaining trailers.
I'm just pointing.
So
we're leaving, I guess just for my edification, so environmental health is to be observing this process or not? I guess that's what I'm looking for, what we're asking as a Board of Health.
Yeah, I assume you would be. So.
Okay, continue what we're doing.
Yep, continue to do what we're doing. I think we need to go the direction that everything is set.
Okay.
Do we need to set deadlines for, like, X number of trailers by our next meeting, anything like that, or?
Suggestions?
I always ask a good lawyer what when I get stuck.
Well, I think it's certainly reasonable to assume that there will be trailers gone by the next Board of Health meeting. I think it's hard to set a number, but.
I guess if I can comment quick, Brandt wants the trailers gone. We don't want the trailers there. But like I said, we can't really do anything until we get a clear directive from the DNR, okay, this one's good to go. So I don't know. I mean, I think, and I could talk to this even with Ethan at a later date, I don't know how realistic it is to say 10 trailers are going to be out by this date, because
my personal opinion is I would like to just know when this plan, I understand where you're at. this, to me, makes sense. You have to get some approval from the DNR, but once that is approved, then you should be able to give us a schedule that you'll get 20 trailers out in 2 weeks or whatever, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know how realistic that is, because I don't know all about the asbestos abatement procedure, but assuming some of these trailers have asbestos and they got to be abated, I don't know what the schedule is of an abater for how fast and quickly they can abate an asbestos trailer.
Ethan and Margaret, can I ask you, being involved with this, do you think it's a reasonable request of us to ask that a schedule be, that this be worked out with the DNR in 2 months? Do you think it will be?
That's a good solution, to work with the DNR and with Roger Nielsen and with Grant, and maybe in 2 weeks' time come up with a definite schedule.
2 weeks from today?
Today, to see how many trailers we can realistically expect. And, you know, if we're seeing progress, that's great. That's what we need to see. If they don't make the exact deadlines, so be it.
Right. Once the abatement's done,
what's that?
How long does it take to have the trailer gone?
Good question. I don't know. I don't know how long it takes.
Do you have somebody that's ready to come in and just take them?
Yeah, we have an inspector, and we have some buyers for some of these trailers. But as far as how much abatement needs to be done on these trailers, that's something I don't know. And I also don't know how long it takes to abate the asbestos.
I think I would be, I'm paraphrasing, talking to Ann yesterday, but as I understood the process of selling a trailer there, if the abatement is not done per the DNR's level of standards, there is a negative, I don't want to say a tort, but there is, you know, the liability exists both on the seller and to the person buying it. It is not passed by the sale. So that, you know, this has to be done, you know, in a manner that is meets their level of comportment. So that I just, you know, and I just didn't want to communicate, because that was one of the things that came out, is, well, on a retail basis, what happens? Well, if it's not done and the DNR becomes aware of it, the sale becomes a pox on both houses, in the sense that the sale of the property does not alleviate the responsibility or remediation of the asbestos.
And the way I understand it, the DNR is not letting us do anything, move that trailer in any way, until it's been inspected by Roger, and then Roger's inspection has been approved by the DNR. Right. So I don't even know that would be an issue of passing it on, since we can't move the trailer.
One of those things that came out as a fact of the disposition of the trailer court. It just is, once again, this has been a learning experience. Each and every time we put a touch on this, you come away with something. That was just one pass through.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say on a county basis, we did have a conversation afterwards that, and the DNR alluded to this yesterday, that as far as keeping track of what trailers are where, we had some discussions and we did some outreach yesterday about getting maybe some drone mapping of the trailer court so we can actually have some date certain aerials. Just a discussion point right now.
So what is your name?
Excuse me?
$250.
Yes, we had used Matt Boink in our GIS office to reach the city of Ames to see if they had some technology really available. No, they had some contractors to do it. Because DNR, that was one of the things they found confusing too, because Ann even said as a lawyer she was trying to draw up a map. I said, no, I don't think you've done that yet, Ethan.
No, I haven't.
Does Renee have to sign off on these two?
That's correct. That's correct. They have to have the tax clearances
as well.
So for some of these trailers, that's going to involve getting FEDs on long departed residents. But again, as Ann stressed, this is a facility. That's the way the DNR is treating it. Yesterday on the phone, so the facility operator of Crestview, it has, bears responsibility for getting rid of those trailers. Unfortunately, that means going through some time expense, but that's just the way things have shaped up.
So, yeah, DNR wants to see the trailers stay in their place until they're ticked off as ready to go. You need the titles, the tax clearance, or the FEDs. You would need the notification, and they still want you to observe the 10-day waiting period after notification before it can be moved off.
And we're aware of that. I'm aware of that. Bill's aware of that. Brant's aware of that. And I guess that's where I'm coming from, where it's hard for me to give you, at this juncture today,
a schedule of when what's going to be gone when, because there's a lot of moving parts with this. It's not as simple as
just moving. Would it be possible that we could expect a email of a schedule in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, we could certainly work towards that, yes. Okay.
I would have no problems if they just emailed us for information purposes, so when we come back in 2 months, that we would get an idea of what kind of progress has been done.
These are no things are moving forward that way.
Okay. Yeah, we have seen movement, clearly. I think the efforts, I mean, Ethan spoke to it. I mean, all parties involved in this have done, have made positive progress to seeing this come.
Right.
And I appreciate everybody what they've done.
And the nice thing is if we get a schedule sent to all of us, we'll have a better chance of judging in 2 months where things have been. Okay? Right? Do we need a motion for that? Okay. If we don't,
I think
we just ask you to do it.
And
please.
Yeah, we just, I mean, just, I like to continue the communication we have had. It has been substantial and free-flowing. I'd like to think that anything, the DNR told us yesterday that they will be in communication as to what they find out and what they're doing. So I suspect that, you know, as we both get that, that we, if we have something or a concern, that we are communicative with each other.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Mr. Lanier, do you wish to say anything? Okay. Right. Sounds good. Let's go on to discussion and consideration of a waiver for a property owner installing own septic system and not having a CIOWTS certified installer.
Hi, my name is Al Herman. Pretty good. My name is Al Hermanson, and I live in Story City, and I'm lived there at this residence for about 7 years, and I'm finding that sometimes country living has its challenges and expenses, and previously, my septic system is failing, and I decided that we needed to John Gray come and pump out the tank and witness that the laterals were not doing what they were supposed to, and his suggestion was to start fresh. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've applied for a permit. Then I found out that over the course of some time, the requirements have upgraded a little bit. In other words, previously I've been involved in probably four or five installations of this type. Most recently we did two of them in 2014, and that's a picture of me standing there with the shovel and the rock and the ditch. And I, like I stand here mostly because I think property owners ought to be able to kind of do it yourself with proper inspection. So that's my plea.
Now I'm going to refrain from this deal.
And I do have a copy of the...
as being a certified installer, I'm going to refrain from discussion of this. So you guys can...
Well, I would like to...
I don't know if... Are you personally involved with this installation?
No, but as being a installer...
I would like your input about why, you know, as an installer. Mm-hmm. I decline.
Oh, you decline.
Well, you have a level of expertise that would speak nicely.
Yeah, it'd be like me saying,
yeah,
well,
sorry,
I don't know. Well, you don't have to speak. It's like me saying, I'm in medicine, so I'm not going to talk about that. Professor Salford.
Anyway, in my understanding, I think in the state of Iowa, okay, and I have a copy of the code here, like the design and this kind of information, but like maybe Story County is more advanced in some of their decisions. I think, is it around 12 counties maybe that require this in the state of Iowa, but the rest of them do not? So that's my plea.
Okay. So what's your thoughts?
Well, the ordinance went into effect April 1st of 2015, and Al has put in systems, and we've got pictures, and, you know, prior to the 2015 date, he hasn't broken any laws. This mound system came up, and he was asking, well, can you issue a variance for allowing a property owner without the coyote certification to install their own system? And honestly, I'm split on this. I think that if he were to do it, he would do a good job. However, on the other hand, if he can do it, then the next guy and the next guy and the next guy is going to want to do it. It seems to me, in my past experience, it seems to me that the bigger mistakes have come from property owners, and then fixing that or finding a new location for the system is a lot harder that way, and it ends up costing more money and time in the long run. I'm not saying that would be your problem, but if the next homeowner wants to do this because Al Hermanson got to do it, what would we be able to say in response? And then to play the devil's advocate, for the well contractors, the state code specifically states that you have to be a certified well contractor to work on wells but if you are a property owner, you can do your own. And so there's two different level or two different approaches to a similar thing. I think actually you could probably do more damage to working on a well by yourself than you can septic systems. Just saying.
Are you speaking to water quality, or what are you saying about more damage?
Water quality.
Okay.
Yes. So, that being said, I'm going to leave it up to the board. It just, you know, I know he'll do a good job, but I'm afraid of the president that this would say.
Right. Help me out here. I know that if an electrician, if you're doing work in your house, if an electrician inspects it, mm-hmm. or if it's inspected and if it's done appropriately, then it's approved. Now, we don't, you know, most people have certified electricians do it because they're just good at it and they know exactly what to do, and then it gets inspected and everything's okay, and I'm fine with that. But if you happen to know what you're doing and you get it inspected, it'll still be approved. Isn't that correct? Okay. So is there a way that we could, in situations like this, make sure that they're inspected while they're being put in so it is being done appropriately?
Mm-hmm. And some counties allow for that. They require the coyotes for their installers, but not their property owners, but they charge a higher permit fee because there is a lot more hands-on for the inspector.
So when you make, and you know, I don't mean this in a pejorative sense, but the conjecture that it may not work, how would you ever know? It may not be working. How about when you say, this system, you can put it in, it'd be fine, you suspect it might, but how would you know if it worked?
Mm-hmm. Same as one that Mark Speck would put in. It was put in right, and you assume it's going to work, and then 10 years down the road, you might find out that it's not, maybe because
there will be no, I guess there's no monitoring component that we would have.
It's a possibility, yeah. But, you know,
you're just trying to err on the side of...
In this area. I'm sorry?
You're just trying to err on the side of getting it right the first time.
Yes.
And Margaret is concerned about a precedent being set.
That's my main
concern. That's your major issue. And so if we say it's okay, here, he's doing a great job, the second one comes in, won't be. Maybe won't be doing a good job, and they can say, well, wait a second, you let someone else do this. And that's kind of the issue that we're talking about, which is why I asked about the inspection question.
Mm-hmm. Another option is for the homeowner to work with a certified installer who kind of lords over the project, and the homeowner can use his backhoe or whatever, you know, to cut down on some of those costs. But, the crucial points are observed and helped by a professional installer.
How much does it cost to use a certified?
Well, I had a rough bid of like $25,000, and I did talk to a fellow, and he was concerned that in the law it states that the certified inspector had to be there 100% of the time. It wasn't like, you know, I could haul a bunch of sand in and build the sand thing, and then he could come by and say, yep, that's okay, and then those kind of issues. So, and then I personally probably would be willing to pay a higher fee for, you know, having somebody, if you guys would allow me to do that.
Where are you at again with your septic system installation? Is it done?
It's right along south of Story City.
Oh,
south
no, I mean, where are you at in the process?
Oh.
Are you done?
Failed. His existing has failed. He has applied for a permit.
To do it himself?
Well, yeah, I applied for the permit not realizing that you had to be certified.
Got it.
And
yes,
she emailed me that. And I've, you know, like I said, I had John Gray come and pump it out, and he says, oh, you got a problem here, so.
Anyone that wanted to do this in the future would have to come before the board again, correct, to get a variance? So it's not as though if we allowed him to do it, that moving forward, anyone would
be able
to do it.
Yeah, good point.
And again, have you started on your new septic system yet?
No. I dug the holes to expose the septic tank I have and the distribution box. But no, I've not ordered. I did check on a price of a tank, but I haven't done anything different than that.
Okay.
So now the price on the retail, at what did you say, 25? What did you expect that you would be able to do it for?
I think I could do it for less than 10. See, I have a backhoe, and I got a laser, and I got a trencher, and got glued the joints together, and previous experience in that. Like I say, I got a picture of me standing in the dirt there.
This is your system, Jim.
Okay.
So, Mark, what's your thoughts on this?
You're right. You know, and I should be careful what I really don't digress too much, but it's kind of a political hot potato, maybe not political, but it's a judgment call, so mm-hmm. I can relate to that. But I just stand in front of, you know, this country was founded on property rights. The only thing is that you can't do anything to harm your neighbor or the water or whatever.
So, really, I do know what you
mean. Well, that's a tough one. I know when we passed this law, and then I know what we had to go through personally, and as a company, to get our people certified and go through all the training and the testing and everything. It was an easy deal, I can tell you. And then we have to update it every, is it 3 years? I think we have to recertify again, was it?
I think it is, yeah.
I think every 3 years we have to do it again, which we've done that once now. So I believe, you know, Al would probably do a good job. Like I say, he's done 3 or 4 of these before, but it just comes down to, you know, the next guy coming.
Right.
This
That'll
is,
be soon.
We're going to have to face this again.
Right.
Yeah.
I would, myself, I would feel very comfortable having a homeowner do it if we had someone watching, not watching it all the time being done, but inspecting it. Very similar to my electrical analogy. You know, like my wife won't let me do electrical work in the house for obvious reasons. And she's a very smart person. And but I do know that we've had electrical work done on my family's place, the shed, and it's like my brother-in-law ran the line out there and he pulled all the wires out and made sure they were, and then we had an electrician come in and actually connect it up.
Yeah.
You know, and it was basically an inspection. Basically, they did the big connections. Is there a way that we could do something like that or work on it? Because if this should come up again, even if he had to pay an extra fee, I mean, I think that would be, because it would take more of your time.
Well, we do have built into the regulations the extra trip fee, the $25 extra trip fee, so we wouldn't have to, you know, change the ordinance before we go forward with this. And there are key points where you need to see things happen, like the ground prep, the materials, make sure the materials are good, clean stone, clean rock, and then the pump test and actually the inspection of the mound itself. Kathy and Matt, you want to chime in? You're doing the inspections.
I would think I'd feel comfortable having you could hire a certified installer, look over him as he's doing this. I think would be I don't think we should put some of that burden on our people here to go out and do extra. I think it's still, that makes the license still valuable as far as a valuable thing that we passed, you know, that by having a certified installer out there working with him through these critical things at times. Of putting that system in, I think, might be a good solution. That kind of split the road a little.
Yeah.
Well, I faced a similar situation in another county where I could not, for a year and a half, get a installer in that county, and I had somebody from Story County go down, and the one county certified installer they had down there, I paid to have him come in at critical points. We stopped the operation and he inspected the installation 3 or 4 times and certified it.
A functioning system.
And that passed for that time until they got more inspectors in this particular county.
See, because again, what we're worried about is the water supply and safety, and we want to make sure that nothing is leaking out to the general water supply. So, I mean, that's our goal.
Sure.
Our goal is not to make sure that people who are certified continue to have work. That's not our goal. Our goal with certification is to make sure that the job is done correctly. And however way we can make that job go correctly, that should be our ultimate goal. I would be in favor of allowing an inspection to happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. That can be arranged. And do you think that's a reasonable? Do you think they'll do that? Do you think
you need
a private contractor?
Is that what you mean? Right. Or one of us? Because we're all coyotes also.
Well.
What did you say, Margaret?
Right. We two are both coyotes, and I am too.
Do
you mean a county employee or a private contractor?
Either one, I would say.
I think they'd both be acceptable.
But
an inspection.
Yeah.
We need. That's what I'm asking for. And this is not. This is not a. I thought
Crestview
was difficult.
It was a time. It was a time.
I
have comfort in the fact that he has done this before.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And the thing is, Al, having done it before, gives me the fact that I bet he has an idea past he has read something he picked up at BAM or downloaded off the Internet,
right,
such that if he had oversight in the cost savings was 25 to 10 or below, I can see why you're chasing 10 or below.
Right.
But we've also had a contractor that did not want to get the title certification, and he's no longer able to work in the county. You know, he installed 20, 30 systems in this county before, yeah, but since he's not title certified, he can't install any.
Well, I don't think we'd even consider anybody that wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, we want the oversight in an official capacity, and we have the ability to represent our determinations in good faith to the residents of Story County.
But what's the difference of that contractor and us going out doing the extra inspection? I mean, he could basically request the same thing,
sure,
not being a homeowner, but
well,
and he also did have a couple that he had already committed to before the coyote certification went into effect, and he ended up hiring
another coyote certified and worked under him to install the system.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so.
You lost me a little bit, man. But yeah.
the uncertified installer had already quoted and accepted jobs before the certification requirement went into effect.
Okay.
So instead of losing those jobs, he hired
somebody to cover him to put him in.
Right. Well, I think that's more.
It worked under.
I come back to where we're at here in the sense that, okay, through the application process, Alice had a really nice civics lesson and brings us to today. And I guess that, you know, once again, I know very few private citizens would ever have this kind of life experience to sit there and they did one, let alone several. And the fact that.
I think we should have, as long as we have a certified installer inspected, I'd be okay with it. And I think that probably a private certified inspector would be a good idea just to kind of keep us out of it. Right? And I think that this could be something that we could feel very comfortable going ahead on the next person who asks us.
Yes, this is truly a case by case.
But we set precedent here.
Well, you always say, well, once again, even setting a precedent, you still retain the ability to say no.
Right, absolutely. Okay.
So you're going to allow me to proceed?
Well, I would think.
Or after you're going to vote, or you got to vote first?
Oh, yeah, no, we have to make a motion.
Yeah, right.
I think we're trying to formulate a motion here. I think you articulate the overall, but so are we looking for a direction out of the Board of Health here on oversight, or what are we doing?
So I would like to propose a motion that we allow the installation of the septic system under a. As long as it's inspected by Coyotes or CIOWTS certified installer.
Let's limit that to property owners doing their own work, though, so we don't have hired installers doing that. I don't. Or do you want to do it that
way? Oh, wait, say that again.
Should we limit that to property owners doing their own systems? We don't want him going and doing his neighbors with somebody.
I think we're on this one case where the property owner's doing it, and that's it.
On his property.
Mm-hmm. On his property.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I see what you're saying.
Property.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So as long as the property owner is doing the work
under inspection. Under a certified installer.
Under the auspices of a certified installer.
Okay. All right.
So that sound like a motion?
That's the motion. I need a second.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Could Stephanie read the motion back for us, please?
Yep. Allow the installation of the septic system as long as it's inspected by a Coyote certified installer and as long as the property owner is doing his own work on his property.
Do you need to lay out points of inspection, like the groundwork and then when the rock and sand's put on? Because the Coyote's contractor could go out and inspect it before when it's all done and over, right before we do.
I would think
they're not seeing from step to step.
Who wants to lead on this one?
Greg, Mark?
I would think the certified installer would need to be there the whole entire time that the work's being done.
I don't see it any different than like a lot of the contractors around here have two or three hired guys, and the owner is the only one that's Coyote certified. You know, he has the other people doing the work for him, but he's there the whole time.
I tell you the truth, I'd leave that up to the Coyote certified installer. They should know when they need to be there. I mean, that's their expertise.
That's what his name is going to be from on it.
Yeah, because their name's going to be on.
They're going to be liable.
Yeah, they're going to be liable.
Make sure it works right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my question is, and maybe if I can speak, would I be willing to pay $25, maybe even more, than have the county come in stages like he's talking about? Is that reasonable? See, what I'm trying to figure out is if I can hire one of Mark's guys to come and help me, or he's going to say, nope, no way, I want to do the whole job. See, I'm just looking for a little clarification.
Okay,
and what I really want to know is whether I can hire the county inspectors to come and look.
I think if you are not able to hire otherwise, I think we should have that option open to you. But that's what we prefer to do.
That's hard for us, though, to, you know, you're looking at two and a half hour round trip just to go out and inspect something for 15 minutes. You know, by the time you make the trip to Story City and back, and
that's 2 hours.
2 hours.
Three in total, I think.
But we do have to give the homeowner a right out if, for some reason, the certified installers want to blackball them. That's what it's talking about.
And I'm just trying to interject here. Would pictures satisfy you? In other words, okay, here's the hole. And I'm not sure. The most concern, the mound probably, as opposed to where the tank is and the piping.
Yes.
Over to it.
Yes.
It's the mound.
That's the bigger thing.
Yeah.
And how long of a period of time do you think it, from start to finish, would it take?
Well, that all depends on Mother Nature, but I would think
yeah.
a week.
A week.
Yeah.
Okay, so back and forth for a week. So it's the ground prep and the materials and the lane and the squirt test. And we do a final anyway, no matter as far as the permit. So two or three extra trips.
But we make no question, we prefer that it would be a
private guy.
Yeah.
If I can find somebody.
If you can find somebody. If you cannot, then I think we have to provide that service, and then we can figure out how to pay for it. Sounds reasonable?
Sounds reasonable.
Okay. We need an addendum to our motion.
Sounds like
does there need to be, if we end up doing it, we need to make it so that he can't come back if it fails in 3 years, say, well, you guys inspected and said it was all right. You know, where that lies on. If Mark goes out and installs a system, does something wrong, and 3 years later it fails, the homeowner can go after Mark and his company. What separates us from him coming to us 3 years, well, you guys inspected it, so it must have been right then, but
yeah, that's because
there's a liability back to us.
We carry liability insurance for that kind of stuff. Where
plus there's a liability for every inspection we do final.
But there's no middleman. There's no contractor between. If we end up inspected
sure.
step by step, there's no middleman. It's just us. There's not a contractor in between.
Well, you'll make sure that doesn't happen, though. That it will be installed properly.
But there's always that.
I know, yeah, I know.
Like
I know.
A dicker here. Yeah.
I think we really should move this along so that the Mother Nature is not going to cooperate much longer, and we're probably going to have snow on the ground in about another month. So I would I'd like to place in an addendum to my motion that we would prefer to have it done by a private Coyote served or whatever it is. Certified installer, and if one is not to be found, that they work with the homeowner works with the county to perform that role.
I would also ask that whoever, Al, you do get, that you do continue contact with Margaret Environmental Help so that they're aware of your progress on this. Since we're this far into it, we're not just a little pregnant on it, we're all in. And just so that we have, an idea on where you are and going forward, who you're using, and if there's any conversations we want to have about the process as you go about doing it, we'd have somebody to talk to. You agree to that?
And, the other thing, too, is this will be a learning curve for all of us to decide whether or not we change the law or whether we put in to change the law, and we'll see whether we can do this as needed. Okay? So, that's the motion.
You got it.
And I'll need another second.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I think we covered it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And next we go to Story County Environmental Health, Margaret James. See, this is why I didn't want you just to sit there and be quiet.
Good afternoon. Nice weather today. Okay, so wells, only 5 permits for this calendar year, 15 pluggings, 0 cisterns, 1 rehab, 132 water samples, those are up quite a bit, and 34 time of transfer inspections.
Why would you have so many pluggings? That's high for you on your quarterlies.
Is it?
Yeah, it just sticks in my head. Why would you?
I don't know. They kind of come in droves. They come up a lot at, like when I'm trying to come up with a septic system design, and then the wells are not using sometimes. If they go away, then you can put it in an easier spot or less expensive spot. Things like that. Kathy and Matt catch them at the time of transfer inspections. It's like, oh, here's a well, but here's an abandoned well that you didn't take care of when you had your new well drilled, something like that. So they just kind of...
It all has their unique stories attached.
That's right. The plugins has always been... Well permits, they're down, way down because of the tax incentive for the geothermals. So way down. 5. Oh, terrible. We, Story County, agreed to participate in a new well study that's going to be starting soon. It's State Hygienic Lab is partnering with the grants to counties that we're already involved in, and they want, and statewide, they want us to shoot for getting 25 wells tested before the spring. And so the grants and counties will pay for the E. coli, total coliform, and nitrate, and then they'll pick up the cost for the nitrite, arsenic, and neonicotinoids. And they're doing those studies. They're wanting to see if they're picking up any of that pesticide in the well water. They think it might be connected to the colonies of the bees dying down. In Europe, they put some restrictions on this type of pesticide because of that. And so they're looking at maybe trying to set some limits based on this study. So it's a cool thing to be part of. They want to get it done before spring because the best time to test wells is when you don't have a lot of high groundwater issues. So they're looking for all different kinds of wells, new wells, old, large diameter wells, just a real variety of things. And they'll be coming to meet us and talk to us more about that later. They're paying for postage and all that. They're not paying any salary, but the grants to counties pretty much covers that. And it would just be sticking another bottle on the faucet. So, good project. Septics, 76, we're a little ahead of schedule, mostly because of Cameron Estates 2, and then we have 15 repair permits and 71 TOT inspections. Pool statue tanning, we submitted the annual report for fiscal year 2016. For pools, the Madison pool over on Mortensen is still having problems. They came up with, how many was that, Matt? 17 or something things that they needed to change, and major, major changes, plumbing and decking and all
basically
that.
Basically, right about installing the roof.
Yeah, but, you know, they went in without a state permit, just crazy stuff. So they get what they
Madison,
get.
Madison? What's Madison?
It's an apartment building with an outdoor pool, and they put in the pool and tanning beds too, right, Kathy?
Well, they have the tanning beds.
And they
have
the
hot tub, the pool.
That's in Ames? Is that in Ames?
West Ames.
West Ames?
Madison. Yeah.
It was an existing complex. Another company bought it, ripped out the pools there. But in a new pool without a permit.
But I think it was a change in
owners
during that time. It was like, yeah. And the second owner didn't follow up on the permit.
There are some dangerous, weird things about that pool. So still no one is swimming in it. We had one potential crypto case in Ames. Apparently, an employee may have been exposed, so they took precautions. City of Ames really does a good job being proactive with issues like this. Tattoos, Matt offered up his arm to test out a parlor, not on company time.
It was a different county.
Yeah, just testing the new techniques. Just thought I'd bring that up. And then, Channing, we've had one test administered. The managers have to come into our office and sit and take a test. Kathy does them usually. And then IDPH sent out an email saying that their Channing staff time allotment is minimal now because I guess they had to fire some people. Their budget's way down. So this this part of their program is way down. But all they really did was permit. They weren't real proactive
right.
before.
But, you know,
Heather, do I don't know. I don't mean to be stepping on toes, but
the
they're just stretched thin.
Is all these new student departments that are going in 13?
Yeah.
So
that have what? Excuse me.
So the state handles the permitting of that, and then Kathy, for the most part, does the inspections of those.
You know, licensing tanning salons
mm-hmm.
is like licensing cigarette machines.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got to admit that. All right, there you go. That's all I'm going to say to that. I don't mind going on record saying that.
Okay, so this, I just wanted to throw this in here. This caught my eye. So environmental health, they review all the zoning applications, plat of surveys, subdivisions, conditional use permits, all these eyeball things that come into the county. We run our eyes across those to just make sure that they're not building on top of their septic system, encroaching on wells, things like that. So this is a really cool one that came upon us. I don't know if you can see it, but the septic is all going into one or two lines there. And then that little circle with the line, that's actually where the tank is and the line going into the house. So it gives us an opportunity to bring this to the attention of the property owner. And so they're going to be out there this week that one of us will be out there, meet them out there, and see what needs to be changed up. This is not a time of transfer. They're putting a shed in. And, you know, if they had to replace it, it's best to put a new system in and then stick your shed in later so we don't have to compete with that footprint. So just... FYI. Okay, training and meetings, pictometry, CPR and AED, mind tour, that was so cool. I love that. Kathy was a little white, but, special projects, we've been doing three mound troubleshooting. The irons is up and running. There are all the Advantex going in there with leading to laterals. We've had several inquiries for burning or burying buildings on site, so when we get past our busy season, I'll have to write up something that's really easy to follow so that we can just refer people to the website on that. We did the COOP-COG updates for the department, the whole county, all the county offices have to do that. I submitted an application for a grant with IDPH for six of the Lucas CPR units. I haven't heard back on that yet. There's been an illness in Gilbert being investigated. They rent a house. Boone County offered to come over with their machine and help us out to see if we could figure anything out. Matt went out on that one on Friday and didn't find anything, right, Matt? And so, you know, two people sick having to be at work for weeks at a time and two dead dogs. So
two
trying to
dead
figure that
dogs.
Out. I'm sorry?
Two what?
Dead dogs.
Two dead dogs.
Doesn't sound good.
Doesn't no, sound I know. Good. But then they moved out.
All right, you can't pretty that up.
Ooh.
Yeah, so anyway, I just thought, you know, if more comes up with that, we've already done the initial investigation, didn't find a thing. The radon is high, but that would not cause those problems. Thomas and yeah. Restaurant and Zeering, I guess they closed their doors. We were going to work up a grease trap and system and all that for that, but they never really got the business off the ground, unfortunately. We had to purchase a computer upgrade for Matt because he handles our data management through our PIT program, and what he had wasn't cutting it.
at South Squaw Valley. Mark at the last meeting asked us to do a grab sample. That went out, and there was really no running water to get it from at that point. Maybe now that it's rained quite a bit, it'll be a little easier. But so we tried, couldn't do it. Okay. Thank you. And then one other thing. Stephanie asked me to remind you all that there's two seats that are going to expire. And it's Dr. Passion and Dr. Pookie. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
we want you back.
Yeah, so you'll have to decide what, and I apparently you have to submit an application and have
we it
approved
just,
by the Board of Supervisors.
We went back, we hit the reset button and took it back to what was at the beginning of the year, which is nothing more than just notice to Dan Shildroth that you would like to continue service, and I fervently ask both of you to continue to serve. And I get why you might want to step away, but I think that your experience would well serve the county if you would stay, and that you would have a discussion with her in regards to what we would do. But we're just taking the vetting process back to the chairman, Sanders, and her, and recommendation from there to the full board on a consent agenda for an up or down, as opposed to the interview process, opposed to the public forum, whatnot. It was a little bit more.
I would be more than happy to continue on serving, but I also have to make sure that people are aware that I'm going to run for Congress. So
yes,
if I win that,
you would step away. Well, congratulations. I would more than be happy to say thank you for your service.
Yeah.
I'll be more than happy.
So,
okay.
When we plan on that, we'll talk about that in November.
Can I ask a question about those dogs? Do they do knee crusties on them, do you know?
Say that again?
Do they do knee crusties on the dogs that died?
I don't believe they did on the first one because it happened. They moved in the middle of February, and it was like 2 weeks after that one passed away, before any of the two started showing symptoms. And then the second dog, I don't remember. I think they were still waiting for more results, but it was they determined some kind of autoimmune.
Oh, okay. I don't know if we'll ever figure anything out on it. They haven't lived here that long, people before and after, or no, before, there's been no one after, right? Have shown any problems. It's a mystery, but it's definitely worth mentioning in case there is some odd thing that would come up.
So, Maria, in Squaw Valley, are they going to replace that system?
Well,
what's happening there?
Yes, but they had a deadline of, I can't remember, was it 5 years, something like that, way too long. So they're going to have a public hearing. So we could go down, and DNR is going to have a public hearing to talk about their NDES permit. And I'm going to go to that and suggest they take it up a notch. 5 years is too long for it to be discharging 40 houses with really no regulations. They know it needs to be replaced. They're not contesting that.
Right. Oh, I just was curious what the timeline was.
Yes. And I haven't heard. They haven't set the hearing yet.
Very good. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay. Now, Story County Public Health. Sorry, you guys are at the end. And Les, would you like to introduce yourself? If you want to take the hot seat.
Thanks, Tim.
I'm a little shocked when you first sit down, but don't be worried about it.
I'll get over it. Maybe this is why people don't last long. Is that? My name is Les White. I'm the newly appointed director of Mary Greeley Home Health, Hospice, and Story County Public Health. So Teresa Ferrari as you probably remember, Terry Olinger.
Yes.
Teresa Ferrari recently replaced Terry as she moved away to Oklahoma. So both, I'm not new to home health, and I will tell you I did public health in Greene County, but a few years ago, so things have changed. So both of us are kind of learning new things as we go along. But we are excited to work with the Board of Health. And if you ever have any questions or concerns, please contact us. We are located across from Mary Greeley Medical Center. We call it the East Building. And it would say it's Mary Greeley Home Health and DME, or medical equipment. So we're in the same location. So again, always, you know, feel free to give us a call, and we'll be happy to help or answer or do whatever we can.
Welcome to the team, both of you. Thank
you. Great. Yeah, so I mean, the only thing that we've been doing, we've been very busy now with school audits. Sherry is still on staff. She works with me, and she's been busy going to signing every day, going to different schools, and I've been doing some of the homeschool ones there in the office, and so we've been doing that in our time, most of our time, and then flu shots, of course, we've been really busy with that, and then otherwise, disease-wise, not a whole lot other than initially when I first started in July, we had several. I said there were like four cases of latent TB that we actually, latent slash active, where we actually gave them a week's worth of INH. Took it to them, actually, because it was masked and everything, because they wanted to be really, really cautious. Dr. Arbeloo didn't think it was anything, but we were just being extra cautious. So we had like four cases of that, which Sherry's like, we've never had that in her years of being here. But it's not the only thing different. Yesterday we did get a hepatitis B. We hadn't had one of those, and we don't have to work those up, all of them. A lot of them we don't do anything with, but this particular one we are. And I did call today and haven't talked to the person about it yet, but that was something new.
Just a real quick question. With the new regulations for the tetanus, pertussis, and meningitis vaccine for seventh graders, has that increased your workload or the workload of the school? Has that made your inspections worse, or your audits, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, I have noticed a fair amount of those that that I'm sending out provisional letters to this, because I've been going through the homeschool group that we have, and there is a fair amount of those that need the Tdap and the meningitis shot. Now, how they'll respond to that, I don't know, but most of the time, most people have been on board with getting that for the seventh graders.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, right now, any comments from our staff? Any further comments from the staff? No one? Okay. Any board comments?
Pleased to say that we're done. You have taken the Crestview item has receded very dramatically from our. We have other issues there that, you know, we're worthy of our time. This one has receding quickly.
I hope so.
Any other comments?
When the lawyer was here the first time, he had a deadline they wanted to sell that place by. I thought it was December.
First, yeah.
1 year.
Talbot, you mean?
No, he said a year.
Yeah. A year.
Remember, he
wanted
from 6 months.
He said he wanted us to give them a year to figure this all out, and we just said no.
And that was prior to the DNR issuing their administrative order.
You know, the biggest thing about Crestview is, in my opinion, is the people are going to be out.
Okay. The DNR, we had an hour conversation with the attorney yesterday from DNR, Ethan, Dev Shildroth, Margaret, and myself. They are very much aware on the water quality, on the air quality. They're going to be, this is a facility that's going to come clearly into their domain in a way that the Board of Health will be an observer. Well, we will move to observer status while they run this. And the thing is, all we asked for yesterday and we'll be asking for on a going forward basis, to be made aware of whatever intersessional demands are made on Grant and that facility, so that we see it go to a sale, so it becomes something else, as we all hope, as far as suspected it will be. Just stay tuned, standing.
Yeah, as always.
Apparently, Boone County's got one going the same way over there, from what I read in the newspaper.
Unfortunately, I don't know about that one.
I was happy to hear there were no more fires.
Yes.
That was...
It's raining, though.
But
yeah, it started raining again.
Sounds good. Okay, so if no further comments, I would like to adjourn the meeting. Okay.
So moved. So, second.
All right, we're adjourned.
Good meeting.